What was your first job? Do you remember that?
My first actual job, I was a dog walker.
Oh, nice.
Which was a very flashy job, walking around areas like Crystal Palace. No, but Barker by name, Barker by nature, I have to.
Yeah, my first job was the paper round, the most generic thing in the world. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of A Creative Truth. I'm Benjamin Simons, composer, up-and-coming Twitch streamer, and the guy that normally dies first in computer games. And with me, I have...
Sophie Berry, aspiring author and mother of uncooperative houseplants. Our podcast is by creatives, for creatives, and aspiring creatives, and everyone in between. Each week, we invite a friend or friendly acquaintance to join us and have a chat about the harsh reality of breaking into their industry.
This week, we're joined by my good friend, John D. Barker. You might know him as a successful photographer and video editor who's worked with artists like Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park and huge corporate clients such as Google and Apple. But I know him as the guy I play Call of Duty with at lunchtime. Lunchtime COD Club, bros. Let's roll the intro music and find out what inspired John to pick up a camera. John D. Barker, welcome to A Creative Truth. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing very well, thank you, and thanks for having me. How are you both feeling today? Been a good weekend so far, kicking off into a nice fresh week.
Definitely fresh as hell, my friend. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it.
Fresh as hell. Oh, God. Okay. Right, John, we've got some questions for you. We're going to talk all about your journey through your creative life so far and where you want to go from where you are now, but we want to take you back, right back to the beginning really, and start with some basics. So
okay,
where did you grow up and what was it like there?
So I grew up in the southeast of London, kind of near to Croydon, an area called South Norwood, and I was very fortunate that I had a family that did childminding, so I got to see my parents quite a lot growing up. I was always around other people as well, so I had a lot of people to like bounce ideas off of and play with. And where we lived as well, all of the houses on the like on the block, I guess, on the roads that convened, had a communal kind of meadow out the back. I was talking to Ali about this the other day, which meant that I was basically all of my childhood, I was outdoors up till maybe like 12 or 13 when I started playing on Sega and Nintendo a little bit more, but I was pretty much all of my childhood outside running around even when it's like raining, because you're a kid, you don't care about that stuff. I really liked growing up in South North. I don't even know what I just said with that word. South North? When I was part of the South North, you know, in the Nordic region.
Don't get Sophie started on that.
Yeah, here we go. No, it sounds dreamy. I had a very similar childhood. It sounds lovely. What was your first job? Do you remember that?
My first actual job, I was a dog walker.
Oh, nice.
Which was a very flashy job, walking around areas like Crystal Palace. No, but Barker by name, Barker by nature, I have to.
Yeah, my first job was the paper round, the most generic thing in the world.
Oh, that's amazing, though. You get to be on a bicycle, you get to go along, you throw it through windows and stuff, and you're like, oh, no, whoops, accident.
No, dude, it was super scary, actually. It was super early in the morning and really dark, and I used to hide papers in bushes because I was too scared to go down the driveways.
Wasn't that the reason you got sacked?
Yeah.
Did you ever get terrorized by dogs or anything like that whilst you do it?
No, I was just scared of dinosaurs coming after me.
Dinosaurs?
Yeah. Classic then.
It was really dark. I don't know. My imagination ran away with me.
How old would you have been around then?
Ah, too old. 13.
23?
No, I was 13, dude. 13. All right, so moving from your first job, so what made you first pick up a camera and think that this is something that you have an interest in and maybe that you would want to pursue?
I mean, I used to enjoy taking like holiday photos and things like that on disposables. When I was in college, I remember being given a bunch of options of things to do. And at the time, I was initially picking courses that were very much like sensible careers that you could have in the future, like be an accountant and other stuff like that, which you can imagine as a 16 to 18 year old is the most boring thing in the world. And it's very hard to go with like sensible ideas. And there are other things that were being offered, such as media studies. And one of them, one of our projects was that we had to go and film a short video thing. And I tied that in with traveling and basically used it to film the equivalent of a vlog whilst I was out there in like 2003, 2002. And it was a fun, different way of capturing the things that I was used to waiting ages to see. Because when you take holiday photos on a disposable back then, you would have to wait for however long it took for them to develop it and get that back to you. But suddenly I had this thing that it was still quite slow. You had to plug it into the computer and quite literally watch all of your footage back to record it to the computer. Wow. But that was so much faster than like sending these negatives off to be developed by someone else that I was like, this is crazy. And then I could organize it however I like to create a story. And I just thought like that was amazing. Mm. It was just such a bizarre experience. But I didn't actually end up picking up a proper camera or anything for myself for another like 3 or 4 years. And in 2007, I would say, they started to come down in price. You had things like Canon's 450 and 500 and 550D, which suddenly was filming in HD, could also take photos. They were inexpensive in comparison with the competition, because you had Canon's normal camera range, which were all like $2,000 plus cameras, and then these were like £500, £600. You were something like, okay, I can actually realistically save towards that. There are a few films that I was really enjoying, like the Harry Potter films that had some scenes filmed on those smaller Canon cameras as well. So I was being told about these things and being like, yeah, I want that.
Yeah, that's, I could do this.
Like, obviously, since then, we know you've worked with some pretty high-profile bands over the years. And what was the first moment where you thought, I can really make something of this?
With the musicians, I fell into that because I was just enjoying taking photos at live shows and then realized that no one was actually filming stuff, or there would be a few other photographers that I'd see at shows already and be like, I could get them to like work with me and have them stand in certain places and I stand in certain places and we can all film and make something together.
Mm-hmm.
First time that it felt like that could be something I could maybe do as a career was off the back of doing some of that and organizing people to do things like that. And off the back of other music related experience I had, I was trying to help a couple of friends out with organizing a tour and booking things that they could do in the UK. Mm-hmm. So I was with two musicians, a guy called Ryan Keane, a girl called Cal Lavelle, both fantastic musicians. And then they got a call from Ed Sheeran, who just released Plus, and was like, hey, I've been told I can pick who I want to go on tour with me. Do you guys want to go on tour with me? And we went to that instead.
That's crazy, dude.
Which was kind of crazy. Because his first year of like really being big, he pretty much just took all the musicians that would turn up to the shows and performing multiple shows with him around the UK anyway. So he went with the same people that he'd been friends with. And he continued doing that for about 6 years at least, until it got to the point where it just wasn't always financially viable. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, it's got suddenly on the road going around the UK playing to these sort of university campus type things, and to like some of the Apollos and those size venues, so like 2,000, 3,000. It suddenly felt a lot more like a real thing. I was 100% out of my depth, but
you're meant to be, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know when that ends, actually.
Yeah, I don't think that ever stops, does it? Like, any new opportunity that seems like a big one, you always have that moment of feeling like, well, I shouldn't be doing this job, there's someone better than this.
Oh yeah,
better.
And I'll still see some like photos and video stuff from back then. I'm like, wow, I took some really bad equipment with me back then. But
yeah, you still got the job done. It's not about the tools, is it, all the time?
And it's just a crazy experience. And that also just reminded me that that kind of thing is what I wanted to be doing. I wanted to be in the heart of the action, trying to document people's like big moments of their careers, of their lives, of their like the big moments that they're going to go through. And I want to be able to get the moments where like fans finally, after how many years of listening to an artist, get to meet the artist and get to say what they've been, you know, to get all of that off their chest and to chat and to interact and to be excited. And all those different moments gave me such a positive high that that's when I knew that that's what I wanted to be doing.
That's awesome.
And haven't looked back, really.
So moving forwards a little bit then, I think a lot of us people who call ourselves creative struggle with the concept of sort of seeing ourselves as being a business, and we just see ourselves as being creative people who want to do creative things. Have you seen yourself that way for a long time? Do you manage yourself in that way? Did it take a long time for you to start like seeing results monetarily, and did you approach it from a business standpoint, or did you see it as quite just a free-flowing creative endeavor?
I mean, at the beginning, I was just excited to be paid anything for it. And it was until a wonderful human called Phil Ammons sat me down and was like, hey, so you're not charging enough for any of the things that you're doing. Right. And you're doing more stuff than what you're quoting for as well and not charging for that. And he helped me go through invoicing and working out the better ways to phrase and approach and deal with that, at least on the money side, and also instilled a bit more confidence in me to just be like, this is what I'm worth, this is what I should be charging, and I shouldn't be compromising on that, unless it's a project that you really, really want to do and you know that the person literally just can't afford to go to your like upper tier. Yeah. Sometimes you get to make that choice, but you should be the one making that choice. It shouldn't be someone else telling you like, no, we're not going to do that for you.
Yeah, a bit of pro bono work sometimes.
Yeah, but when I started, I was genuinely just like, I'd go and shoot a music session for someone for 60 quid and I'd be like, wow, I got paid 60 quid for doing an hour's work, not thinking about A, how much time it takes to edit it, B, how long I'd taken to like learn to get there, and C, that like you'd need to be booking a lot of those in a month to be making a living from it. So I was just excited to that it was something that wasn't sitting at a desk or like walking dog or any other kind of job that I'd been doing up to that point. I was just excited that I got to be taking photos or filming a video and people were actually paying me money to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so I guess like getting people to see your creative worth is a major challenge in itself. But what would you say kind of the main struggle in kind of carving your place in the industry has been?
There's a few little parts in there. The first is that I'm very happy in a sort of consultant educator kind of role. So when I work on projects with people that are new and starting up a business and stuff like that, I'm more helpful than I should be a lot of the time, and I teach people how they can potentially self-sustain and do the project themselves, which sometimes costs me work but sometimes gets me a client for like 5 years.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit of a gamble, isn't it, because you want to nurture the people that may go on to do amazing things and then they'll return that favor to you at some point. Obviously it's not all selfish acts and that's not the reason why everyone helps anyone, but there's a part of you, or part of me at least, when if I'm really kind and really good to the people that I help or that work with me and they go on and do great things, then they'll remember that hopefully, and maybe they'll give me a leg up in the future, you know, and maybe vice versa.
Yeah, for sure. Are you getting the sound of that dog barking?
Yeah, but it was cute. It's fine.
I was looking at him like, I'm not doing anything, but I'm seeing my green.
No, it's fine. So all right, good. I've got a much nicer question for you now, John. What do you love about what you do?
I love being able to be in the heart of a crazy experience for people. Like the first time that a band walks out onto a stage in front of a sold out crowd, off the back of knowing that they've spent years, decades building up to that moment, and they finally get there, and that you're like backstage with them, and you can see that they're nervous, and they've still, even to the point of knowing that it's a sold out show, are still thinking, what if no one turns up? What if it's just a prank? Being around those kind of moments are just so pure.
Yeah.
Same again, like I was saying, with meeting fans and seeing their excitement, everything about that is just such a like pure joy that you don't tend to get in a lot of other aspects of life. Everything else seems so calculated and so meticulous, like the ways of guaranteeing that you're going to have fun just feels a little bit
like New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Like, oh, we've got to have fun because it's going to be another calendar year, and that always goes great. Like, that's sometimes you just want to be there for the immediate stuff. And also just being on the road for tours is all of my favorite things combined. I get to be around people that I'm building good relationships with. I get to wake up in a new country or a new location every day. I get to go through listening to live music, which is the best of the best thing that you can really experience. It's just so such a like spoilt life when you get to be on the road during the good times. And even though it's like sleep deprived and sometimes catering's a bit weird, it's such first world problems to have when you wake up somewhere like Switzerland and True. You're just like, what the hell is my life at the moment?
This isn't the premium beer I asked for.
I can't believe that they've only got two types of guacamole. This is something wrong.
I think that's it though, isn't it? It's like those truly authentic, pure, joyous moments are kind of the basest requirement for me, actually, in terms of what I want from life. It's kind of...
Oh, for sure.
It's exactly what you're looking for, right? So on the flipped side to that, John, in an alternate reality, if you weren't having those amazing experiences in the industry that you're in, what would you be doing?
Little 2001, 2002 to 2008, me thought I was going to be a rapper, and that was great.
Incredible.
Part of my like fun, weird early relationship of like working with Mike Shinoda and some of his people was I ended up just constantly writing and having lyrics just come to my head. And I still enjoy freestyling from time to time when I'm out and about or with people, but I don't really do it all that much. But at one point I used to just write all the time on message boards with people, and a couple of friends that I was chatting with back in the day. One was from Las Vegas. One was from North Carolina. I was just like, hey, dude, I'm going to go out to LA in November. Do you guys want to meet up and we can like just record an album? Why not? And they were like, haha, sure, thinking I was joking. And then we went to LA and we recorded in a studio for that was owned by one of the rap groups that was on Mike Shinoda's Fort Minor collective.
That's nuts.
It was the most bizarre and weird week or two of my life. And I feel like I feel like I catfished the two guys because I showed them a side of LA that is the most enjoyable part of LA you could possibly have. And both of them moved there within the next like 4 months thinking like, this is just what LA is like. And it was never like that from ever again.
No.
We had all these bizarre things where like we went to MySpace's second birthday party.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Like it's a weird world already. That was at the Dodgers Stadium car park. And it was just this massive thing with like live music and all kinds of crazy things. Went to a bunch of different shows. We went to Fun Recording Studio. We went to the house parties that you kind of see in the teen America films that you're like, oh, he's just going to walk in and someone's going to be doing a keg stand while someone else is in the corner, like having a rap battle and everything. And we just walk into everything. It's like, this is actually just a stereotype that we are living in at the moment. It's amazing. And we like performed a show on the last night and all kinds of stupid stuff. But I listened back to the things and I'm like, oh, that was bad. But I blagged my way as far as I could. So in an alternate world, I'd have taken that seriously and maybe been good at it. But
that's interesting. I don't think many people actually get a glimpse into what their alternative life might have been. And you had a little look.
Oh, yeah. I ran down as many different paths as I could. But I also really enjoyed folk music, and there's not many people that rap and listen to people playing ukulele.
Could be a new genre there, dude.
I really hope not.
All right. So as a creative in a creative industry, how would you define success within this field? Like, what's your definition of a successful life?
I feel like at least at the start of the year, I was definitely on the path where I was making... I was making a consistent amount of money that I could invest in future equipment, in future technology, and in like accommodation and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. To me, being just fully self-sufficient is the first stage, and being at a point where you can constantly be improving what you're working with, where you're working, who you're working with. Mm-hmm. But mainly at the like the most simple level, it's learning something new each day.
Okay, yeah that's reasonable.
Yeah, so, well, I think that's a pretty cool place to be.
And for me, like, success is understanding what you're doing and learning how to do it better each time.
And so this is arguably the most difficult question we're going to ask you today. And that is, what advice would you give your younger self? What advice would you give Lil Jon?
Stop saying yeah. Even if it looks crap or even if it's not the best quality, a finished product is better than one that you've left on the side. And, you know, no one's talking about the great stuff that they saw you doing the behind the scenes for. Everyone just wants to see the final product. So even if you aren't fully happy with the final product because you know that you could have done things better or there were better things that you have learned since, like, get it done. Just finish it.
That's so true. Mm. The amount of people, like, if you're a creative out there and you're listening to this and you've said to yourself, oh, I wish I could do this or I really want to try that, you just have to just give it a go. Like, you're never gonna know unless you just try. So just try something, finish it, look at it and improve on it, and just keep going. Like, that's literally the only way. But like, stop going through life and then and like getting to that point where you've just never tried it, that's, there's no sadder thought to me than that never happening for someone.
And the equipment you have on you is the best that you have, so it doesn't matter how much better the other stuff is. The things that you've got now are the best you can work with. If you've got a phone that you can film on, you've got a camera. If you need something to edit, you can edit on free software on your phone, or you can do free software on your computer. It doesn't matter that the people around you are working with, like, you know, 30 grand's worth of equipment, because you don't have that. And if you're just going to sit there waiting until you have 30 grand's worth of equipment, you're going to be leaving, you're like, fall behind very quickly. So it's better to just start filming things and making stuff and just keep on improving with what you've got.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because you don't, if you go in straight away with all the gear, you will have no idea. So if you just start from the tools that you've got, learn the fundamentals and incrementally increase what you have as time goes on, and don't blow your life savings on, you know, a red cinema camera or something. I think they're expensive, aren't they, John?
They are very expensive. And also, it would take you so long to render the footage of it that you would probably give up on editing by the time that you'd started.
John, man, this has been excellent. Thank you so much for all your insight.
It has been an absolute pleasure.
And this is a moment for you to plug yourself, where you could talk about what it is you're working on, your socials, whatever you want people to know about. The floor is yours to say whatever you want, sir.
Plug yourself.
Plug it real good.
Oh, God. you can follow me on all social media at John D. Barker. JohnDBarker.com if you want to check out my website. I need to update that, and that's hopefully going to give me a push to do that in the meantime. And if this comes out in September, it's September, so go to twitch.tv/BenjaminSimons and check in.
Oh,
subscribe.
Thank you. Very sweet of you.
Thank you so much again, John. It's been an absolute
been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to find out more about us, you can find us on Twitter at A Creative Truth or on Instagram at A Creative Truth Podcast. We'd love to read any feedback you have, so if you have a moment, leave a review, and if you enjoyed today's podcast, please tell your pals. We'd also love to hear your thoughts about who you'd like to hear from in future. See you next time.